It's over. We are screwed. This is the worst.
This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Board the Pod!
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Caps fans. If you're still out there, if you're hating your own team like most of the people on Twitter, what's going on? Welcome to What the Puck. It's a Washington Capitals podcast. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, and Google Play Music. This one stung, guys. This one, man, this one hurts. This is a rough one. Joining me, as always, Coach Dan. What's going on, man?
I think I'm doing better than you are.
Yeah, it's been rough. It has been a rough day.
You think it's the rain that's bringing you down?
I think that's a part of it. I'm thinking 80-20.
Yeah, can we stop with the rain?
I did find it
was rather, symbolic, poetic, that as when Bonino scored the series clinching goal last night, a thunderstorm started down here in Olney. And I was like, well, that works out very nicely. I mean, not nicely for us, but in general, I thought it was actually quite interesting.
Yeah, I want to thank you for holding on to the reins of the podcast while I was on vacation. You and Amanda did a great job on the show last week.
Thank you.
Man, it was rough coming back from vacation and going to work, but it was even rougher now with the Caps losing. It was not a fun way to end the vacation. Oh man, this was supposed to be the Caps' year. This was quite a regular season.
That's every year at this point, dude.
But I mean, this one felt different. This was the best, well-rounded team. There was so much depth that we thought that there was.
See, that's what we thought. We thought that this was the most well-rounded team from what we saw in the regular season. That was the expectations. But going into the playoffs, what the hell happened to the bottom six, and what happened to the defense to some extent? There's so many defensive errors, so many defensive miscues, and the scoring, or the lack thereof, from the bottom six forwards was unacceptable and is what did this team in. If you look at the Penguins, they had consistent offensive production, especially in the series versus the Capitals, from their third line. Whereas the Capitals, they were led by Ovechkin and Carlson, two of your stars, both got 12 points, both getting 5 goals and 7 assists, which I thought was a little interesting that they both got the same amount. That was kind of weird. Backstrom had 11 points. Oshie had 10. And these are all in, 12 games, right? Each series went 6 games?
Yeah.
So in 12 games, Ovechkin and Carlson both were a point per game player. Backstrom just under. Oshie just under. Williams, who had 7. But then you look at Burakovsky and Kuznetsov. Burakovsky had 1 goal. Kuznetsov had 1 goal and 1 assist. Where'd those guys go? Chimera had 1 goal and 1 assist. That's not enough production. Wilson had 1 assist. Winnick had 0 points. Beagle had 3 goals. That's not terrible, but from your third line and fourth line, you won a lot more. And you were not seeing that from the Capitals in this postseason. I mean, Johansson had 7 and 12. That's not bad. I mean, it could be – I'll take 7 and 12. That's not bad. But then it drops off significantly after him, and it was unacceptable. These guys were not – Mike Richards had no points. Winnick had no points. I think the fact that the bottom six didn't step up offensively and the defensive miscues were what cost this team in the end. And anyone out there that wants to go and attack Ovechkin, we see an idiot like Mike. I mean, Michael Wilbon is a very well-respected reporter, writer, whatever, but he's a complete moron for advocating that the Capitals trade Ovechkin. I don't know if you heard about that on PTI.
I haven't heard about that, but let me just say I absolutely love you idiots on social media that have been watching hockey for about 4 weeks now, and you know what's wrong with this team. You friggin' morons. I can't tell you. I had to actually shut my phone off.
Get him, Brandon.
I had to shut my phone off last night and a little bit today because of all of those idiots out there on social media going, I know the key to the Capitals winning, and I know what's going to be. You got to trade Ovechkin.
Yeah, what? That's the problem. What? He's just leading your team in the postseason. Well, Tyfoli, in the postseason in points. But, yeah, let's move out that guy. Not move around some of your bottom six guys. And we're going to talk about that in, what, 2 weeks? We're going to do the future of the Capitals kind of a thing.
Yeah, we'll hit on that a little. We'll hit on that a little bit tonight, but we'll go in depth in 2 weeks. But look, these people saying, "Oh, trade Ovechkin. He's lazy. He does this. He does that. Blah blah blah." Guys, name one other player that's not Ovechkin or Holtby on this team, and I will take you friggin' seriously. Okay, you know what? That really got to me last night. That these people that watch all these other sports and love all these other sports come into the playoffs, and then they say they know this team. And if that's completely, everyone saying you got to trade Ovechkin is 100% wrong. The dude, yes, he has been known in the past to be selfish. But he's not like that anymore. Barry Trotz has changed that about him. In the postseason, they're sticking 2 to 3 guys on Ovechkin so he can't do what he normally does. And that's why you need the bottom six. That's why you need lines 3 and 4 scoring, because they're focusing so much of their defensive players, like the defensive offensemen, on Ovechkin. That's what they're supposed to be doing. And that works. But without those bottom six, the Capitals can't go any farther because Ovi can't score. Ovi can't do all of that. And the other guys, like you said, Burakovsky, Kuznetsov, they disappeared. I don't care what anybody says. Kuznetsov was almost a non-factor in these last two series.
He had a couple. I mean, Kuznetsov had a couple of nice opportunities, but he didn't capitalize on any of them. He did have his nice little koozie pass last night, the little slick one where he goes behind the net but then still puts it back where he was coming from. He had one of those, but Ovechkin unfortunately missed the shot.
Yeah.
Not that necessarily made – I mean, I don't think necessarily win the game either way that way. I mean, if you look at the game last night in Game 6, there's many things we can talk about that, you know, had Holtby stopped that first shot, had Orpik not tried to take off – I don't even remember who that was anymore, who he slashed – or high-sticked – in the face. Like, it had those, yeah, but the point is, it shouldn't have come down to that. It shouldn't have come down to needing to win that game six because you needed more offensive production from your bottom six players and less defensive miscues from your defense throughout the series. And people who are out there advocating trading Ovechkin, like Michael Wilbon, who, like I said, well-respected reporter, but dude has no idea what he's talking about in this regard. You don't trade Ovechkin, and it's not like he's not, you know, it wasn't a postseason where he didn't show up. He led the team in points. Or tied to lead the team points with Carlson. Backstrom showed up. Oshie showed up. So even if other teams are, as you were talking about, they were trying to shadow him and keep him out of it, he's still able to create for more players. He had more assists than points. I'm sorry, more assists than points. That makes sense. He had more assists than goals. So he still was creating opportunities for his line mates. Oshie had 6 goals and 4 assists. I think he had 5 goals in the Penguins series alone. Oshie stepped up. Backstrom stepped up. Williams, who it seemed like was struggling a bit and may have lost a step, he stepped up. He got 7 in 12. That's not bad. But then you look at Burakovsky and Kuznetsov. Where do these guys go? Now, I don't think that's going to happen to them every postseason. It just happened to be that this was a postseason that for one reason or another, and I think it'll be interesting to hear about the injuries as they come out. We already know about the one to Alzner and what happened to him last night and why he wasn't playing as much. But if you look at a guy like Chimera, you look at Tom Wilson, you look at Winnick, you look at even Beagle to some extent, you look at, and Beagle sort of gets a pass because of that ridiculous stop in overtime.
Amazing.
When he just dove across the goal line, that was awesome. But you look at a guy like Chimera who gets power play opportunities, and he's not taking advantage of this situation. The bottom six was the problem offensively for this team. There was not enough help from the depth. And I think that is something that Brian McClellan is going to have to look at in the offseason in potentially switching up what that depth is. Because as you saw, the Capitals are a bigger team, but the Penguins were a faster team. And now you could have said the Capitals were a faster team back in the early Rock the Red era, where
they were young,
running and gunning and Steve Spurrier and style and just go, 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 and they were ridiculously fast, but they had no defense. In this case, the Penguins were a very fast team. I didn't know Carl Hagelin was that freaking fast. Like, that dude is quick. With him and a lot of the other guys, they were able to keep up the pressure on the Capitals, which even though the Caps are a bigger team and we're trying to hit the Penguins as much as possible, the fact of the matter is in that overtime, when you're getting outrun and you've lost one of your top defensemen because he had a groin injury that was preventing him from being able to move, move, but be able to skate and really be at the top of his game. The longer that overtime went on, the more likely the Penguins are going to score and win that game.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, and you're talking about...
I think we're going to see a pretty different, to some extent, bottom six next season.
I'm agreeing with you because three of those guys that you mentioned are unrestricted free agents coming up. Jason Chimera, Mike Richards, Daniel Winnick. Those three guys are unrestricted coming up. They're not going to...
No, Winnick we have for another season.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm looking at General Fanager right now because I knew we were going to bring this up. So, real quick, even though we're going to go more into this in 2 weeks... Chimera, Richards, and Weber are unrestricted. I imagine Weber is going to be gone because they'll want to save the money. Because they still have Chorney for two more years. Schmidt still has a deal through next season, and they'll re-sign Orlov. So my guess is Weber, they let go. They replace him probably with no one, and it's a kid from the minors. They'll bring up Bowie or Stevenson. I don't know. I'm not saying a Taylor yet. They'll bring up somebody. My guess is they let Weber go. Richards, I would not mind to see back. Chimera, I don't know. Jason Chimera. He's 37. According to General Fanager, he's 37 years old. When is his birthday? When will he be 38? Or doesn't have his birthday? I don't know. He'll be 38 eventually. Do you re-sign Chimera? I don't know. Or do you replace him? I don't think there's anybody necessarily that can replace him on the team. Like, I don't move anybody up from the – I mean, Wilson? But he – I mean, well, Chimera's on the left wing, so that wouldn't even make sense because Wilson's on the right. Do you replace him with a guy like a Riley Barber? Do you give Barber the opportunity in the preseason next year to be like, look, we sort of imagine you for this spot. Can you handle it?
There's a lot of talent.
Or you sign somebody. You sign a free agent.
There's a good chance a free agent could get signed, but there's a lot of talent in Hershey right now. You got Riley Barber, you have Jacob Verana, you got a guy that Caps fans know, Liam O'Brien. I mean, if Tom Wilson becomes
O'Brien's not going to replace Chimera on the third line.
Yeah, I'm not saying Chimera, if he wants to replace Tom Wilson or something down the road, you do have that. You do have that down in Hershey. Yeah, but. 22. We've been talking about Wilson since he started, you know, about how he hasn't really...
Well, that's the thing about Wilson, though. Dude, he's only 22. So, him, Burakovsky, Kuznetsov's 23. It's interesting because Wilson was brought up so early, and I was thinking about this the other day. Did the Capitals do him a disservice by bringing him up? Would he have been better suited? And I know we've talked about this in the past, but, would he have been better suited if they left him in the minors a little longer and he's having opportunities to work on his offensive game against lesser talent? Does that stunt his growth? I don't know. It's a sort of a tricky situation. Or is he better off playing against these better players in the NHL? And is he just, maybe he's just growing and progressing slower because he's playing in the NHL against better players. And, I mean, he's only 22 years old. He's still got, 4 years, 5 years until he hits, the prime of his career?
Potentially.
So he's got a lot of time to really work his way up. But I'd like to see him on a third-line role next season. I'd like to see him as a consistent third line player. He's got some decent speed. We saw more of an offensive game from him this season, at least in terms of being able to set guys up, move the puck in, and keep the puck in the offensive zone. Now we got to start seeing more of a goal scoring possibilities from him.
He's a very good agitator. He does that. He knows his role.
He got better about not doing that, though.
Yeah, but look what he did against the Flyers. He took out Wayne Simmons for 5 minutes towards the end of one of the games. He took out Yevgeny Malkin, because if Wilson sits for 2 minutes and Malkin sits for 2 minutes, that's a pretty great trade-off. He knows what his job is. He knows he's supposed to get underneath the skin of the other player, and he knows to draw penalties. He's very good at that, but he's got to show more. To be a Stanley Cup team, you got to be more than just an agitator. He's got to agitate them while also still being a goal scorer by still getting points. You got to lead in the league in something besides penalty minutes.
Hey, you know who might be available to replace Chimera?
Who's that?
Entertaining. Milan Lucic. We'll have Lucic and the new Lucic in Tom Wilson.
Oh, man, that would...
There's guys out there that are a possibility. I mean, they're not going to cost you much money. Yeah, right. But there are guys that are a possibility coming out. I mean, you have a guy like an Andrew Ladd. He's got a little bit more money. He's a little better offensively than Chimera. Now this thing says Chimera's 36, but But then if I go to the other page, it says he's 37.
He's 100.
He's up there, is the point.
He's on the wrong side of 35.
Versteeg, Perron are both available. Tanguay is older, so no thanks. I mean, Nathan Gerby, he's like 4 feet tall.
They have some options. They got to figure out they want to go.
You know what? I got it. Dude, they're bringing back Tomas Fleischmann.
You want to bring back Flash? I mean, he is quick, at least.
No, I'm just kidding. No. yeah, true, but no.
So, all right, so let me back up here a little bit. We're gonna continue the conversation.
We got a little off track.
We got a little off track, but I want to back this up to the regular season. I mean, the Capitals dominated at the beginning, and they didn't have a lot to play for in the last couple months. Let me ask you this. Did that hurt them, ultimately, to be that good at the start where a lot of teams are still getting their footing and having nothing to play for later on in the season? Did that stunt them from becoming a better team with new players after the trade deadline? Did it stunt them?
What new players?
Winnick and Weber. You know,
it wasn't like Richards, it wasn't like Richards, a certain extent, went out and brought in Hagelin and Daly and a couple. I think they brought in a couple other guys. No, I mean, I don't think it's a situation where they necessarily didn't do enough to, like, at the deadline to bring in guys. And to some extent, not having as much to play for in the last few weeks does affect you in terms of your preparation and your energy level and mentally. But I don't think that's necessarily what caused them to lose this round and to lose a series and for their season to be over now. I think there's definitely more to it than that. There was a lack of production from their role players. And that, in the end, is what did them in. You can't expect your star players to carry you throughout the entire playoffs. You need production. And if you look at the good teams, I mean, unfortunately, look at Pittsburgh. I hate saying this, but look at the Penguins. They had production from their role players, and that's why they're going to continue playing. The Capitals did not, like we talked about. Chimera, 2 points. Wilson, 1 point. Winnick, 0 points. Richards, 0 points.
Richards surprises me. I really thought that
his offensive game is not anywhere near what it used to be, but yeah, I thought he'd have like
something,
a little bit.
All right, so let me
even a little bit.
Let me ask you this as well. I mean, I'm trying to think of like what happened to this team, because this team looked unstoppable for the majority of the regular season. I understand postseason is completely different, but going off that regular season, just the killing of everybody and then slowing down to not looking that great towards the end. We always said that it was the All-Star game and the blizzard that really threw this Caps team for a loop, and they never really recovered from that. Let me ask you, does the loss of Brooks Like, does that affect this team as well? Because I'm not saying like a...
Somebody brought that up to me,
yeah,
on Twitter. No!
You don't think so? Because like...
No, not even a little bit. You want to talk about on the locker room? Because that would be the only point where it made a difference? And yes. No, I don't think so. Because... And no offense, this is in no way a shot at Like or anything like that, but they didn't do in the playoffs with him, so I don't see how losing him necessarily cost them there in the end. No, I don't think Like anything. Unless Like was going to be the guy on the bottom six to step up
right
in the playoffs, which we saw nothing from the regular season that would have said he would have been. No, I don't think losing Like did a damn thing to this team. I think losing Like... maybe a little bit for that next like game or two, but that's it. That would be the only thing where he would have affected this team in terms of him no longer being there. It was completely a matter of the Penguins were playing like one of the best teams in the NHL, if not the best team in the NHL. They're a high-flying, very fast team. They have a very confident young goaltender and a defense and a system that was collapsing around him to protect him. And the Capitals, while their star players were able to step up and be those star players, the role guys were not. They were not able to step up and help out. They were not able to produce enough to be able to help this team out. You can't expect your star guys to carry you through the playoffs. I mean, you expect them to carry you, but they need a little help.
Right.
Now they got to do a little bit more. If you look at a thing like when LA won it, yes, Jonathan Quick carried them through the playoffs. They're playing amazing, but someone's got to put the puck in the net. And when Ovechkin's scoring 5 goals and 7 assists in 12 games, I mean, someone else has got to do the work. It can't just be him. It can't just be Backstrom. It can't just be Oshie. The bottom guy's got to step up, and they didn't do that enough. And the defense, did not help anybody out.
Yeah, so let's talk about the defense here. Of course, the giant elephant in the room, the glaring spotlight on this team, Brooks Orpik. He gets suspended for 3 games. He comes back. He takes a 5-minute major, which gives the Penguins 2 chances to get goals, and they go up 3-0 in this game 6. How much affected this team of the loss of Brooks Orpik for those 3 games? And I mean we can talk about that power play, but I mean it gave the Penguins so much drive and so much energy to fight for. But the Caps were able to come back. I mean, so I don't feel as if you can really blame Brooks Orpik for this loss on Game 6. But how much did the Capitals depend on him this season, and how much did he let them down with that suspension? Because obviously the defense, like you said, didn't come up to where it should have been. And as I say that, I also think of this. This is the same team that played without him for like 40-some games. So really... Yeah. Like, everyone's pointing the finger at Orpik, but should fans...
I don't know how you can, because the Capitals were one unfortunate play by Weber away from potentially winning game 4.
4.
Right? 4?
5?
They're 4. One... 4. I can never remember which game.
It was 4.
Thing. It was just insane. You're one unfortunate play by Weber away from, you know, potentially winning game 4, and you're one... soft goal or one bad penalty for potentially winning game 6. It's just, you know, it's an it was a situation where Orpik did something stupid. The team had to pay for it, but I don't think it necessarily cost them in the end. Yes, the high sticking cost them a couple of goals, but so did the soft one by Holtby. I mean, they had plenty of opportunities. Or how about how many times that they had offensive chances and they're shooting low when you know that Murray is weak when you shoot up high? You're consistently shooting low. So the team is they're making the same mistakes.
They haven't watched the experts about them recently.
They're making the same mistakes over and over and over. And you can't keep doing that if you want to keep playing.
Can I just tell you how excited I am that Jennifer Lawrence and Olivia Munn are in a movie together? They're like in my top 5. I named my TV after Olivia Munn. That's neither here nor there, I guess. But
we've gotten way off track.
But listen, so I don't even.
This is affecting you more than me, and I was wondering, like, as a DC sports fan, maybe I'm just numb,
right,
to it now, and so I'm just like, well, it's over. All right, let's move on to the next thing. I mean, let's look at what my teams have done. You have the Capitals, who unfortunately seem to find themselves more or less consistently in a position of losing in the second round. Now, with that said, I would take losing in the second round over not playing at all in the playoffs probably any day of the week, unless you're getting the first pick in the draft. Different situation, right? If you have the opportunity to go and draft another, maybe not Ovechkin, but certainly top player in the NHL again, it's a little different. But I'll take losing in the playoffs over not being in the playoffs at all. I like where this team is going. I think they need some tweaks. They certainly don't need a reboot. You're not looking at them having a fire sale and getting rid of everyone and rebuilding the team around like Kuznetsov and Burakovsky. I don't think we're going to see anything like that. I think they need a retool. I think they need to look at the bottom 6 guys they have on the roster, and they need to look at the third pairing. And just, I mean, Nate Schmidt was benched, or he was a healthy scratch for what, the last 2 games?
Yeah. Yeah, he was
in the
Josh
Dalhouse.
So they
got to look at these guys and decide if they are really the players that are going to help them both in the regular season and the playoffs.
Now, I do want to bring up coaching a little bit here. I think Barry Trotz has done a phenomenal job with this team. He's really transformed them into a more well-rounded team. I mean, we said that all season. We didn't really see it because we're pretty much at the same spot we were last year, or with Bruce, or even with Dale Hunter. But definitely better than Adam Oates, so there's that. But here's the thing with Barry Trotz, and I will have to nitpick him here a little bit. I don't like the fact that it takes him so long to change up something. We didn't see the TKO line put back together until, what, game 6? We didn't see – I don't understand. Here, and this is the other thing. We gave Mike Richards the third line center spot. but Marcus Johansson just did so incredibly well while Jay Beagle was out at that spot. Why don't you try putting Mojo back in that third line center spot? I don't understand why that happened. I don't like the fact that Trotz, he doesn't change up the game as the series progresses. Up against the Flyers, he was playing against Neuwirth, like what was the guy? What was his name?
Mason.
I was going to say Murray, but I'm like, nope, that's the last guy. Mason. We were still playing like Mason was in net, and we know that Nuvi gives up these juicy rebounds, and no one was parked in front of the net. A little bit of that was still going on this time around by not shooting high over the glove as much as possible against Murray. He takes too long to change up the game, and I don't like the fact he didn't change the lines up that much. That really annoyed me, and if anything, that's the biggest problem with the Barry Trotz system that I have right now, is that he's just too slow at changing things up. When things aren't working, in the midst of a game, he'll just jumble up the lines a little bit. But when you know you've had success in the past, I think you should have at least tried that a little bit. Mojo should have been put on that third line. Kuznetsov should have been put on that first line before the sixth game. And, you know, he tried to do what he could with defense.
It didn't make a difference in the end, because Kuznetsov still wasn't doing a dick on the score sheet.
He wasn't. And he didn't even last the whole game with Oshie and Ovechkin. But still, I think it should have been done a little bit sooner. The TKO line did great at the beginning of the regular season. Mojo did great after Jay Beagle went out with an injury. I don't know if it should have belonged to Mike Richards this whole series. I don't know. I feel as if things should have been changed around before they were. We saw it last year against the Rangers. No one was getting those rebounds from Lundqvist. They weren't changing their play against who they were up against. I guess that's my biggest gripe.
I was looking at general manager, which going back to the offseason stuff and revamping since the third line and fourth line were kind of garbage. You know who's going to be a free agent, looks like, after the season?
Who's that?
Troy Brouwer.
Oh, really?
Sign him. He's only 30 years old. Bring him back to be your maybe a little cheaper than he's making now. Bring him back to be your third line right winger. Maybe. Chris Stewart's available, looks like. Who else? Louis Erickson. Out of ball. He's not really a third line guy, though.
You think about it. There are actually four former Capitals still playing right now. We have Joel Ward, Troy Brouwer, Eric Fair, and Philip Forsberg.
You're forgetting Cody Eakin as well.
Oh, that guy. Remember that guy?
Does Forsberg even count?
I don't think so. But
he never actually played for the team.
I just wanted to bring him up.
You dick. there's going to be options in the offseason. I mean, in my guess, if they don't go free agent, so they'll surprise us like the Oshie deal and just make a trade for somebody. And you'd be like, oh, okay. I do not expect this team to go out into the offseason and make any big moves. In terms of big name players, I try to make some moves, but we're not going to get another Oshie trade. I don't anticipate that happening. We're not going to go out and see
either.
Of course, now I stand there and be like, "Oh, the Capitals have acquired
Sidney Crosby,
Evgeny Malkin," or something. I'd be like, "What the? How the hell do they do that?" No, but okay, I'm on board. What do we have to give up? No, I mean, I think the thing, and I was talking with someone about this on Twitter, I think last night, and saying how McClellan's just another George McPhee. I disagree strongly about that. I think McClellan is the kind of guy who wants to win. He wants to win now, and he's willing to make the moves to do them. We saw that with that. He gave one of them a ridiculous contract to Orpik, but also signing Niskanen. And then he went out last season, and he acquired Oshie and signed Williams. And I don't know if George McPhee would have done those. I don't think he would have gotten Oshie.
I can tell you right now, he would not have. He would have taken some farm league guys and traded some of our farm league guys, and then nothing would have happened. That's what would have happened under George McPhee.
I don't think he would have acquired Oshie. Because Williams, maybe. But I just don't know if he pulls that move off. And I don't think he's able to get them out from under Brooks Like's contract, which I think is going to be a big thing to help them this offseason.
Well, yeah. Well, Brian McClellan, he pretty much came out at the beginning of the season and said he has a two-year window to get the cup. That's what he's thinking, two-year window.
Not true, but it's nice that he says that.
Right, and with 1 year down, I guess he's thinking next year's got to be it. So maybe he'll make some moves, but who knows?
Going into this offseason, the Caps have a decent amount of cap space too.
So they could
have about $15 million, which is not a lot, but.
And how much of that's going to go to Marcus Johansson this year? I mean,
he's not going to get that much.
Yeah, he ain't going to get 15. But
if he was at 3.75. I wouldn't go that much over.
I'd go a little.
I like Johansson. I'll take him back, but He's got to be really. I mean, Oshie's making a little under 4.2. He should not be getting more than Oshie.
No, not at all. All right. So what else? What else do we have to cover here in this capsuleless world that we live in now?
They still exist, dude. They're just not playing until October. Ovechkin, Kuznetsov, and Orlov will reportedly be joining Team Russia at the IIHF World Championship as long as they stay healthy. That's okay with me.
Yeah, it worked out great for Orlov last time.
Yeah, oh, Jesus. And Holpe was named a finalist for the Ted Lindsay Award, given to the player voted to be the most outstanding by members of the NHL Players Association. He was nominated along with Chicago's Patrick Kane and Dallas's Jamie Benn. So congrats to Holpe on that one. We'll see if he gets that one in the end. I think was you and I were talking when you talking about him being nominated for the Vezina? Has he been nominated for the Vezina yet?
I don't know.
I'm gonna look this up.
Look it up.
Vezina Trophy 2016. Yeah, it's him. Where'd it go? I think it was him. God dang it. I don't know where it is. It's him, Ben Bishop, and Jonathan Quick. When did they announce this? We probably already talked about it and I forgot. I don't go back through my notes and look. But yeah, I mean, we can go. What are we doing? Next week, we'll go over the awards and recap the season. And then in a couple of weeks, we'll do my fun stuff where I always like to talk about the offseason and who's going to get signed and whatnot and all that fun stuff.
Yeah, we're going to cover all that throughout the next couple of weeks. This is just kind of to recap the...
I'm GM Dan, not Coach Dan.
Oh, he's moving up. He's moving
yeah.
up.
Yeah. Well, dude, the freaking Coyotes are hiring a 26-year-old.
What?
Didn't you hear about that?
I've been busy. I didn't see it.
You've been on vacation?
Yeah, that's what happened. Oh, man. Okay, well, wow. That's great. All right, so if that's it for Caps World, it's so sad. I'm so very sad.
I already, that meant so much more when you put it that way.
I know. I already shaved. I hate it. Ugh. All right.
Yeah, I know. The kids at work today were like, "Dad, you shaved?"
You know what that means. Ugh. All right, that's it for Caps World. We are going to take a quick break, and then we're going to go down on the farm. But before we do that, here's a word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the fuck? What the fuck? Is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
This is Barry Trotz. You're listening to What the Puck.
All right, everybody, here we go. We are going down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. I know the Bears are trying to fight those baby pens off. Coach Dan, what's going on down on the farm?
Well, let's start in Hershey, where the Bears are currently in the second round of the Calder Cup playoffs against Wilkes-Barre Scranton, like you just said, where the series is tied at 2 games apiece. They are playing Game 5 as we speak, where the Bears are up 3-0. And now it is 3-3 in the third period, I believe. So that is unfortunate, but hopefully they can pull that one out. Though as you're listening to this, you probably already know who won that game. Game 6 will be on Friday in Wilkes-Barre Scranton, and if necessary, a Game 7 on Sunday at the Giants Center in Hershey.
We should go.
In South... What?
We should go. There's a game.
No, dude, I'm 0-5. Not a chance.
Oh, you're not allowed in.
Also, I have to work on Sunday. Down in South Carolina, the Stingrays are tied in their second round series against Adirondack, 3 games each. They are playing in Game 7 as we speak at the North Charleston Coliseum in South Carolina. So again, by the time you listen to this, you'll know whether they have moved on or if their season 2 will have come to an end. They're actually currently down 2-1 with about 14 minutes to go in the third period. So let's hope that they pick up their game and are able to come back and win that one and move on in their fight for the Kelly Cup. But, yep, that's what's going on down on the farm.
Man, it is a busy night on Wednesdays for minor league hockey. Who knew?
Apparently.
All right. All right, well, go Bears, go Stingrays. Let's march on. Let's get that Kelly Cup. Let's get the Calder Cup. Let's do it all since we can't win the biggest of the big right now.
Ah, yeah. Oh,
All right, everybody. That's it for Down on the Farm. Now let's go around the NHL. All right, everybody, here we go. We are going around the NHL. There's still plenty of stuff going on. Big picture stuff. Lots of game sevens. About the conference finals are about to start up. Coach Dan, what's going on around the NHL?
Well, let's start in Minnesota with the Wild. Have a new head coach in former Duck and Capital bench bosser Bruce Boudreau. He's back. Boudreau also spoke with Ottawa, who also have a new head coach and former Tampa Bay guy. Guy Boucher, that was weirdly worded the way I just put that, but Guy Boucher is also back in the NHL. Brandon, I was a little surprised that he chose Minnesota until I looked at their roster, and now it makes a lot more sense to me. He's got, I think, a little more offensive players, or more offensive players, at least forwards, in Minnesota than he would have had in Ottawa, but you have a different take on the return of Gabby.
I was a little shocked that that's where he went. I know that – didn't he interview with Ottawa? He interviewed
– Yeah, he interviewed with Ottawa.
And didn't he interview with Calgary as well?
I think he was going to talk to them, but I don't know if he ever actually did.
Okay. Well, yeah, I was a little confused about that. But to have him go to Minnesota, I was a bit surprised. I figured that he was done because he had such poor postseason.
It's only been around two different teams. Someone's going to give it up. Though he did say – I was reading – if Minnesota doesn't work out, he's done. He doesn't want to be a head coach anymore, I think. He's tired of moving around, I guess.
I would hate
that. It's tough, man. You have a family. You got young kids. You don't want to constantly be moving them around the country.
How do you go from sunny Anaheim to snowy Minnesota? You know, that's going
to
be pretty hard.
Well, you're going
to
get a better fan reaction at games.
I don't know. Minnesotans, man, you got to think about it.
Minnesota loves hockey.
I know they love hockey, but they don't like, you know, foul-mouthed people, you know? They don't like it. Bruce is going to be screaming expletives at him, and Minnesota's going to be like, That's not very nice.
They're going to be yelling at the – they're not – although they are pretty close to being Canadian.
Yeah. If they got Tim Hortons, they're Canadian.
When the hell did Mika Koivu become 33? Good Lord. I mean, he's got a decent amount of young guys. He's got Parise. He's got Pominville. He's got Vanek. He's got a decent roster up there in Minnesota. That's a good fit. I don't mind the Wild. It's a nice little area of the country, I'm sure, up in Minnesota.
Oh, yeah, you betcha.
And they love hockey. So I think it's a good fit. Do the Cavs have anyone from Minnesota? I'm looking real quick, guys.
Isn't Schmitty Minnesotan?
Minnesota? Yes, he is from St. Cloud.
All right, I knew it, eh?
All right, wait a minute. Mike Weber, who gifted the Penguins that overtime win, is from Pittsburgh.
Yeah, we knew that.
Conspiracy! Hey, Matt Niskanen is from Virginia, Minnesota. That's confusing. He's from two states. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not that dumb. but, yes, that's what's – oh, Hershey takes the lead. Zach Sill with a shorthanded breakaway. That's pretty bad when you're giving up shorthanded breakaways.
All right, Sill.
All right, Hershey's up 4-3. Nicely done, Mr. Sill. And no caps for apparently him going down to Hershey to backtrack an entire section of the program. Apparently, that's not the case. I thought maybe – no, I guess none of the guys were sent down on the – I forget what it's called. Not deadline day. I forget what it's called. But the day where you're allowed to send the guys down before they're not allowed to be in the playoff roster.
Right.
Anyways – continuing with NHL news, Florida signed defenseman Eric Gudbranson to a one-year deal. Terms were not disclosed. And that's pretty much the news. So, Brandon, let's check in on the Stanley Cup playoffs. We're in the Western Conference. We got a couple of game sevens. St. Louis is in Dallas, while Nashville is going to be in San Jose. In those, without looking at what's happening right now, who do you have?
I have St. Louis against San Jose.
Yeah, I would go same thing.
So we're wrong.
I think the Blues are on fire. I think I'll back Brouwer. I like him. I was sad to see him go, but I was happier to see Oshie. I'd love to see Brouwer back in a third line role at the right cap it for next season. But again, that we'll talk about that in 2 weeks. I think I agree. I think it's going to be St. Louis versus San Jose. This could be the year, and now that I've said – I'm going to say this, that I'm, of course, to find a way to lose because I am, again, the kiss of death. This could be the year the Blues win the Cup.
Maybe I got a buddy that is a St. Louis fan. He's from St. Louis at work. He was like, "We're never going to get past Chicago." Again, he's not a hockey fan. He just is like, "That's what
we didn't have him getting past Chicago." I don't think
I didn't. I definitely did not. And he was just like, "Ah, you know, we never get past Chicago. Don't have to worry about it." Now that he's like past Chicago, he's like really.
We're
really,
taking it all the way.
He's really into the Blues now. But you got to feel for Oshie at that point if the Blues go all the way and. He left. I don't know. That's gotta suck for him.
I'm sure a little bit, but he also, you know, he's had for those happy for those guys. And as much as McCullen may say it's the 2-year window, I think it's, you know, not the case. They definitely have more time than that to potentially win a cup. But please do it at some point, please.
Yeah.
In the East, it's gonna be Tampa Bay taking on the Penguins. Brandon.
I don't even care.
Actually, let's go back for a minute. Let's go back to the West. If it's St. Louis and San Jose, who do you got going to the finals?
I would like to see San Jose go to the finals, but I think St. Louis is going to do it.
San Jose and the Heavily? That's not a word. Thornton and Marlowe having an opportunity finally to win.
I just want San Jose to win for Joel Ward and that black.
Oh, that's true. I forgot about Ward.
And that black cat that's been on the ice and their lucky charm, and Brent Burns because that guy's freaking hilarious.
Oh, Burns is crazy ass beard.
Yeah,
that dude's crazy. Okay, so then it's Tampa and the Penguins. Do we even want to do this one?
No, can we skip it? Because I hate both of them.
I hate both of them. I'm rooting for the West now. I just don't like what I'm thinking in terms of who's going to win.
The Penguins are going to win because...
Tampa Bay has surprised me. Not that that means anything. But they have surprised me in the fact that they've made it this far.
They went.
I thought it was... Without Stamkos, I thought I was like, all right, you know, they're screwed. But they still... I mean, they beat the Islanders in 5. Where did I put the crap?
They beat Florida in six.
They're not dicking around.
They didn't beat Florida. They beat
Detroit. The first time I've used that word 3 times in the podcast.
They beat Detroit, which that was pretty good because I had Detroit beating them in the first round. But then against the Islanders,
I was looking the wrong way. I was looking at the Islanders. Sorry, they beat Florida. You're right. Let's look at the wrong thing. I followed the Islanders one. Yeah, they won both in 5 games. Sorry, over Detroit. We thought Detroit was going to win that. I think we both had Tampa over the Islanders.
Islanders. I didn't have the Islanders going past the first round. I had no faith in the Islanders. I think Tampa Bay definitely had the easier way to get to the conference finals than the Penguins or the Capitals did. Having to go through the Rangers or the Flyers, but I don't think they've really had a solid test against them, and they're really going to feel it against the Penguins. Yes.
Speaking of the Florida Panthers, and that was kind of a reach since we only talked about them for like a second. Did you see their alleged new logo?
Oh, the shield. Yeah, I did.
It looks like a soccer European football logo.
It does, 100%.
What the hell is that thing?
Is that the new Nike jerseys? Or no, Adidas? Adidas jerseys already getting a little influence there?
I mean, I suppose it's possible.
Yeah.
They're better than what they have now, but they're still very...
That looks like a high school football jersey. Like that. That looks like Texas football, and that's like the.
It is a little weird looking.
And it also kind of looks like a state trooper, like a cop.
Oh, yeah, interesting. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. Well, at least they won't be. I mean, still better than what they have now. But yeah, back to Tampa Bay. I've been very surprised by how they've done, especially with Stamkos out. And I remember I was reading maybe a week ago that he may be able to come back. So that'll be interesting.
I do. Hold on. I will say I do like the Panther logo with him showing his teeth more than the closed mouth Panther in the first picture.
When I close that
up. The jersey picture. Oh. One says Panthers, one says Florida.
No, I like the closed one better.
I don't. I like the one where he looks pissed.
Oh, he's like Tom Badass.
He's like pissed. He's like, hey, knock it off.
Watch out, or Jaromir Jagr will come after you.
Well, yeah, I think Jaromir
Jagr would, for another year.
That would work for the first logo because he just kind of looks like he's looking at kids playing on his lawn. Get off my lawn type of look.
Yeah,
for him.
Yeah. What was I saying? Okay, yeah. So that's pretty much the NHL stuff. I think we both have St. Louis and San Jose moving on, and then we got Tampa Bay and Pittsburgh, and hopefully whoever it is that wins the cup comes out of the Western Conference.
Yep, that's where we stand, rooting for
Tampa. San Jose would Bettman would like that one because they're both warm climates, and he loves trying to put hockey in a warm climate.
That guy, I tell you. All right, guys, if you want to continue this conversation with Coach Dan or I, even though the Capitals are out of it, we're still going to talk hockey. We got a couple weeks left of doing shows we got planned for you, so make sure you stay tuned with us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. Talk about cap stuff. We can talk about the Skins and the moves they're making in the offseason. We can talk about Arsenal and how they choked an opportunity to win the Premier League. Maybe we're getting Granit Xhaka. Brandon doesn't know what I'm saying anymore. You can also find some of my old writings and some maybe some new stuff in the relative near future if I ever get off the couch, apparently. CapitalsOutsider.com. This is a fantastic Cap fan website. So it's CapitalsOutsider.com. Brandon, what about Brando Cash Entertainment?
That's right. Go to BrandoCash.com. Get all the information you're ever going to need about Brando Cash Entertainment. Go to Facebook.com/BrandoCash and Facebook.com/WTP Podcast. The podcast is also on Twitter, and it's got a new handle. So check it out at WhatThePuckPod is where you got to go. There you go. I didn't even need to do it twice. No outtakes.
Yeah, he remembered. Woo!
So like us there. Make sure you follow us. Whenever a new show comes out, you will be the first to know. We do plan next week to be back with a new show. And, guys, it is one of the best shows of the year.
Brandon, South Carolina tied it up.
There you go.
There we go.
All right. Next week, What the Puckies 2016, we will be giving out our end of the season awards to the Capitals. It's an annual show.
I gotta go remember what they were.
Yeah, you find that old document so we can make our choices.
I never remember what it was. Oh, crap.
All right,
guys. What would it have been last year? Probably around the same time it was this year.
Dun, dun, dun. All right, guys. So what we ask in return for giving you all of this great content is for you to please spread the word about What the Puck. Be social with the show. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit, anywhere you and Snapchat, and anywhere you are social on the web, on your phone, whatever. Just be proud of the fact, even though the Caps are out of it, that you are a Caps fan. You're going to represent them properly, and you listen to What the Puck, and everyone else should too. Those bandwagon fans we've been talking about that don't know a thing. There, I just censored myself. Don't know a thing about the Capitals and think they should trade Ovechkin. Get them to listen to our show so they can learn what a real hockey fan sounds like and what a real hockey fan should say. All right, guys, that is pretty much it for the show this week. Thank you guys so much for joining Coach Dan and I throughout this entire season. It has been an awesome time getting together and talking hockey with Coach Dan. And I can't thank you guys enough for downloading us every week or whenever you feel like downloading us. I want to say a big thank you to Ming Chen and Glenn Clark for joining us this season to cover the Capitals and kind of give their insight on their own teams. We got some special guests lined up for the off season. We're going to have some fun with that. Coach Dan, any final words for this cap season before we review it next week?
Yeah, I can't find my notes from last year with the things. I'm trying to find it. Oh, that's a problem because I don't remember all of our stupid names for what we call each thing.
All right.
You know what? It was a fun season as always. I'm sorry it ended so soon, but that doesn't mean that you and I are necessarily done being silly on the talkie just yet. I keep on
silly
saying that.
On that the talkie. So dumb. I love it. Somebody make me a t-shirt that says silly on the talkie.
Alex, hook us up with a meme, please.
There you go. Thank you, buddy.
Silly on the talkie.
I'll put
that on my Twitter handle thing.
I need
to update that.
I love your avatar because it looks like it's a picture of me. So half the time I feel like I'm tweeting myself.
Yeah, no one knows which one's me and which one's you.
Tell them
you're... Unless they actually know who we are in person, in which case, never mind.
You're the better looking one, so everybody, they all think that you are me.
I'm kind of blurry in that picture.
It was a GoPro. We're going to have a DSLR this time around. All right, Caps fans, it has been a great season. It's been fun talking to you. Until yesterday. It does suck that we're ending early. But we will be back next week to do our What the Puckies. So make sure you stay tuned and talk to us on Facebook.
If I can find out what they're called.
Yes, Facebook and Twitter. All right, guys, that's it for the show this week. The Caps may be out of it, but still, say it loud, say it proud. Let's go, Caps.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jax. For more information, go to brandocash.com.
All right, everybody, here we go. We are going down on the farm. We are talking...